North Korea launches again. It's Wednesday, January 26th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Casco in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, economic signs from trash. Looking back on COVID in Australia, measuring box office success. It's all on today's VOA Asia. South Korean military officials say North Korea test-fired two suspected cruise missiles in its fifth round of weapons launches this month. North Korea has been increasing its testing activity recently in an apparent effort to pressure the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden over stalled nuclear diplomacy. One official said intelligence officials were analyzing the launches. Another said they were made from inland North Korea. North Korea previously issued a veiled threat to resume the testing of nuclear explosives and long-range missiles targeting the American homeland, which leader Kim Jong-un suspended in 2018 while initiating diplomacy with the United States. Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. Officials say nearly two dozen sailors on an Australian military ship going to deliver aid to Tonga have tested positive for the coronavirus, raising concern they could bring COVID-19 to a Pacific nation that has so far managed to avoid any outbreaks. Australian Defence Minister Peter Dutton said his government was working with Tongan authorities to keep the ship at sea and make sure there is no threat to Tonga's 105,000 residents.
And we have a vessel, obviously, that we're very keen as quickly as possible to dock in Tonga so that we can get those supplies off and provide the support to people post the tsunami there. But we've also, in the interim, been able to cycle through a number of C-17s and to offload that aid and assistance. But ultimately, we're in the hands of the Tongan government. We're working very closely with them, and they have a 21-day quarantine period. So our ship will either stand off or it can port, offload the equipment that's there. We can do that in a contactless way, spray the equipment so that the chance of passing on the virus is obviously negligible. So there are different options that we're working through at the moment.
Tongan authorities have been wary that accepting international aid could usher in a bigger disaster than the huge eruption of an undersea volcano 10 days ago. Since the pandemic began, Tonga has reported just a single case of COVID-19 and has avoided any outbreaks. It is one of the few countries in the world currently completely virus-free. Officials in Indonesia said Tuesday a nightclub in West Papua province burned after two groups clashed inside the building. At least 19 people were killed. A spokesperson of West Papua police told Metro TV that one of those killed was a member of one of the groups that clashed Monday night at the club in Sarong City. The spokesperson said 18 bodies were found after the fire. Police are still investigating what caused the clash and whether the fire was set or accidental. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Cambodia PM says Myanmar junta welcome at ASEAN if progress made. Report says anti-corruption fight is stalled and COVID not helping. Slovenian trade group reports Chinese backlash after PM praises Taiwan. Pakistan swears in first female Supreme Court judge. UNESCO report says the world failing to provide quality education for children. Find complete coverage on all these stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Wednesday. With its borders closed and virtually all foreigners gone, North Korea is more inaccessible than ever during the coronavirus pandemic. So to learn about the reclusive country's economy, some North Korea watchers are picking up whatever scraps they can. In some cases, that means literally examining North Korean trash. as VOA's Bill Gallo reports from the inter-Korean border.
It's a cold January afternoon, and Professor Kang Dong-won is scouring the beach for trash, specifically North Korean trash that has washed ashore here on Yeonpyeong Island. It's a remote South Korean island near the disputed sea border with North Korea. Kang is excited. This is the 35th different type of Eskimo brand ice cream that he's found. In total, he's collected over 1,400 pieces of North Korean trash over the past year.
The waste is so diverse. Food, beverages, snacks, medicines, cosmetics. It's like a little market here at the beach.
Kang has visited North Korea. He used to make research trips to Chinese cities near the North Korean border. But during the pandemic, this is as close as he can get. And North Korea is incredibly close, just 4 kilometers away, easily visible with the naked eye, even in poor weather.
Turns out it's not actually that hard to find North Korean trash on South Korean beaches just like this one, if you know what you're looking for.
This propaganda leaflet slams conservative South Korean politicians. This piece of rubber was part of a trash bin at a thermal power plant. And like many products, this instant noodle wrapper specifies the exact factory where it was made. Important clues about what North Korea can import and produce, and how it markets products in perhaps the least capitalist country in the world.
During the Kim Jong-un era, North Korea has put more effort into package design. Not even North Korea can ignore the tastes and desires of its people.
In the quiet village nearby, residents say they barely notice the North Korean trash. Oh Ki-im says she's seen more than just garbage wash ashore.
Landmines also float around. You have no idea how much stuff comes from the north. So many products, even human corpses.
Kang, though, remains fascinated by just the trash. He's even written a book on his findings.
With this trash, I can see the lives of North Koreans. It helps me understand North Korea.
With North Korea closed indefinitely, scraps may be all that he has for a while. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Yeonpyeong Island, South Korea.
Still to come on VOA Asia, looking back on 2 years of COVID restrictions in Australia. Happening now in Asia, the Philippines telecoms regulator said on Tuesday it has awarded television broadcast frequencies of ABS-CBN Corp., the country's former top broadcasting company, to Advanced Media, which has links to a political ally of President Rodrigo Duterte. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. 2 years ago on Tuesday, the first case of COVID-19 was detected in Australia. The virus would trigger some of the world's toughest coronavirus controls. Phil Mercer reports for VOA from Sydney.
The first confirmed case of the new coronavirus in Australia was a man in his 50s who'd spent time in the Chinese city of Wuhan, where the infectious disease was first detected. 2 years later, Australia has recorded 1.6 million infections and more than 3,000 people have died, according to official government data. Health officials report that the number of COVID-19 patients in New South Wales hospitals, the nation's most populous state, is at almost 3,000, the highest level since the pandemic began. New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet has paid tribute Tuesday in Sydney to the state's medical staff.
Can I begin by thanking our health workers right across our state who are doing an inspirational and amazing job during these challenging times, as they have been over the last 2 years, in keeping people safe in our health system.
However, experts are optimistic the current Omicron wave may have peaked in Australia. 93% of eligible Australians have received 2 doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. New South Wales Chief Health Officer Dr. Kerry Chant has stressed the importance of receiving a booster shot.
For those with underlying health conditions, I just want to acknowledge that it's been a difficult time throughout the pandemic, and a difficult time recently. But can I re-emphasise that booster doses will give you significant additional protection against severe disease?
New South Wales has Tuesday extended its indoor mask mandates and capacity limits for cafes and restaurants for at least another month. The pandemic prompted Australia to bring in some of the world's toughest disease control measures, including international border closures, lockdowns, and vaccine mandates for key workers. Many foreign travellers remain barred from entering the country. Borders between Australia's six states and two main territories have also been closed during the pandemic. Western Australia's plans to reopen its internal borders on February 5 have been postponed indefinitely because of the Omicron wave sweeping the rest of the country. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Finally on VOA Asia, just as studios were resuming theatrical releases at the end of last year, the Omicron variant rolled in, forcing a return to streaming or a theater release streaming hybrid. Now that the traditional way of viewing new releases has changed, the film industry faces a crucial question. In the era of COVID-19, how does one measure box office success? VOA's Penelope Pulu has more.
Spider-Man: No Way Home has surpassed all expectations at the box office. According to Forbes.com, the third installment in the Spider-Man franchise, with Tom Holland, Zendaya, and Benedict Cumberbatch, has grossed a whopping $1,630,000,000 worldwide since its theatrical release in December, making it Sony's biggest movie of all time. The film has yet to be released in China. Variety's awards editor, Clayton Davis, says there is more than one reason why this Spider-Man is a hit.
You don't pull in $260 million in an opening weekend and it's just kids. It's just no way. I think everybody came out for it. People were sick of being home.
People were going with the expectation that this is going to be a great experience to see on a big screen with the big surround sound coming at. You expect the production quality to be good. You expect the acting to be good.
Richard Craig, Associate Professor of Communication at George Mason University, also attributes Spider-Man's box office success to its multi-generational fan audience.
A lot of people like myself grew up on Spider-Man. Now you have new generations that are grabbing. My son is a Spider-Man fan. Like I said, you've had three recent adaptations of Spider-Man. So it crosses a lot of different lines in terms of who we are as people.
According to Insider.com, the top three box office hits last year were all Marvel tentpoles. Spider-Man, No Way Home,
is this what you wanted?
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and Venom, Let There Be Carnage, all had theater-only releases despite the fluctuating pandemic. On the other hand, highly anticipated films such as Lana Wachowski's The Matrix Resurrections and Denis Villeneuve's Dune had hybrid releases in movie theaters and streaming platforms and seemed to have underperformed at the box office. According to Variety.com, Denis Villeneuve blames Dune's lackluster performance on Warner Brothers' decision to do a hybrid release. But Angela Watercutter of Wired.com says there is no single metric to determine whether a film did well on a theater streaming hybrid because it is not clear how many people have watched at home, where some people share video streaming services, while others might view the copyrighted films on torrenting sites that provide them for free, a practice often associated with piracy. Richard Craig says Hollywood will have to find new ways to measure success and secure profit from streaming because he believes streaming is here to stay since movie theaters cost money to operate, especially during the pandemic.
Or is it more profitable for them? Allow us to watch it at our leisure, whether that be through subscription or some sort of advertising profit mechanism that they create.
That remains to be seen for an industry in flux. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
That's all the time we have on VOA Asia. Make sure to find us on Facebook, VOA Asia, on Twitter at VOA Asia, and on Instagram, YouTube, and at VOAnews.com. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Gascale in Washington. Enjoy the day.